Hey there, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanne Reicher, here to help yoga and wellness entrepreneurs build a thriving online business. If you're ready to make a bigger impact and earn money online, you are in the right place. Each week you learn about websites, digital products, social media strategies, and what's working now to build your online business. And now let's get started. Today I am talking to Liana Lumaik, my former life coach who I know from Bali, about how to find your dream career, overcoming obstacles when you're just starting out, how to get paid what you're worth, and so much more. So stay tuned. Hi, Liana. It's so nice to have you here. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited also.
Can you introduce yourself? So tell us who you are, what has your journey been like, and where did it lead?
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, so my name is Liana Lumaik, and I am a life coach. I live in Bali, Indonesia, but I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area in the States. I worked in the tech industry, working for big companies like Adobe, eBay, and PayPal, making over six figures and living the life of what I thought was my dreams. And then I transitioned and I left that whole world behind and transitioned to become a life coach and changed my career and moved to Bali about over 4 years ago.
That's so great. Yeah, that's where we met. We worked together. I think it's probably over 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, that was 2017.
For a short time, yes. And I just love your energy, and that's why I'm just so excited to have you on the podcast. And I also think you can share some really relevant insights and strategies for my listeners. So many of them are yoga teachers, and your focus right now is really to help people find their dream career and their passion in life. So many of my listeners probably already switched careers, not all of them, but many, for example, from a corporate role to becoming a yoga teacher. But my experience is from talking to people and my own as well. This is a work that never stops. And just becoming a yoga teacher doesn't mean that you really thought about it. Where will it lead you? You don't necessarily have a plan. And that's what I would like invite people to learn or to take away from this episode is some strategies and tips how to really evaluate where they are and where they could go, where's the journey taking them.
Absolutely.
So can you tell us a little bit more about evolving within your career or passion of a life coach?
Yeah, so I started my journey to become a life coach while I was still working in my full-time job, working 9 to 5. And as soon as I hired my coach and discovered what direction that it was that I wanted to go, I dove headfirst into a coaching program that was 6 months. And I took these courses. I felt like I was on track. And then I went into the certification program, which was another 6 months. So it was a year long and with a lot of money, time, and energy invested into this new path. And then I started working with clients part-time in the evenings and on the weekends. But I was still not in a place of being able to do it full-time, which I'm sure that maybe some of your listeners might be able to empathize with. And it was around this time where it was like, wow, okay, so I'm doing all of these things. I feel like I got traction, but there's also another bridge that I needed to cross. So that was at a point where I was thinking, okay, I did all of these moves. How do I get from being a full-time 9 to 5 corporate person to being a full-time coach? So that was something that took a lot of time and effort and focus for me to transition into.
So what roadblocks or mental barriers did you experience there?
A lot of it was imposter syndrome, right? Who am I? You know, who am I to help people in this way? Even though I had a lot of knowledge and skills already and the passion to do it and a lot of care, A lot of it was like, I've never done anything like this before, or comparison, right? Like there are so many other people that are doing it. Like, what is the value that I offer? So it was a lot of around mindset, and the belief that I could do it was the biggest thing for me. And the process, right? How do I go, like business-wise, how do I go from making this part-time to making this full-time, which you know a lot about?
Yeah, I know it's challenging. And I know that probably we all, like really, probably 99% have the same issues. Can you share like your maybe just one tip that helped you overcome that?
Yeah. I knew from the beginning of like when I went to this coaching program, I knew I was home. Like, I tried on so many different ideas. I was looking into music therapy. I was looking into, because I love music and I love helping people, I was thinking maybe I should just transition into, say, maybe I should stay in tech, but maybe transition into another organization. But I knew as soon as I went into coaching that this is what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to pursue. So tapping into that passion and tapping into that energy of feeling like this was the right thing for me really helped me when I was feeling doubtful. So that's one thing, is just knowing, remembering why you wanted to transition. So for a lot of your listeners who have become yoga teachers, it's just like, remember when you had the idea of going to yoga teacher training or becoming a yoga teacher. What is it about yoga and this world that attracts you? What is it about this world that makes you feel so fulfilled and so alive, right? And tapping into that energy will help fuel you for when it gets tough.
Yes, I agree. It's so important to know your why, or I call it your mission.
Right.
And to get really clear on that. It's a big step also in my programs, for example, in my accelerator program where we create an online course. So the first step is really to get clear on what's your mission. So you never forget really why you're doing this. And this will help you when things get tough or when you get stuck or, it's just so important. Have you ever dealt with negative comments or doubt from others in regards to your work? And, you know, like people telling you, oh, this is a phase, and then you should get some, you should do something real, something serious, get a proper job again or stuff like that.
Oh yes. It's so hard. Right. So, my dad, who's like one of my number one supporters, didn't used to be. Right. So he was the reason why I went into the tech space in the first place. I was taught that this was the path to go. I was living the life of my parents' dreams. So when I left that all behind for uncertainty, for my passion in helping people in this way, he called coaching a hobby. And that really, yeah, like that resonated with me in a negative way. I was like, wow, okay, so this is what he believes. And after a while, it started to bug me. It started to take energy from me. It started to feel like, oh, I started to doubt myself because I thought he was doubting me. So I had to sit him down and say, Dad, when you call like my new career path a hobby, it makes me feel... it makes me feel like I'm not supported by you. And in this new mission, I'm going to need support from everybody that is important to me. And because I don't feel like I can move forward without your support, without that energy, without that faith coming from you. And since that day, he's just never wavered. He's been one of my biggest supporters. He's markets what I do and sells what I do by word of mouth every chance that he gets. So being able to notice how these things affect you and being able to articulate and communicate to the people around you, like this is the effect that you have, that it has on me. And this is my ask from you. People are like the people that support us, right? They become attached to older versions of ourselves, who they know us to be. they love that version of us. And when we evolved, sometimes it's hard for them to catch up. Sometimes it's hard for them to accept. So we need to be compassionate and understanding about where they are and try not to let it hang us up, right? And we need to do what we can to get the support that we need, but also have compassion for where they're at and give them time and give them patience for them to catch up to where you are.
That's true, because he probably just was a little bit afraid for you only once. Yeah. I think I had the same with my parents.
Right.
Yeah. But my biggest issue was actually more my friends, who I felt weren't really interested in what I was doing, didn't understand it, and thought when I wasn't like freelancing, taking a freelance job in Hamburg, which I did like the last years always for a few months each summer just to support myself while I was building up my business, only that was work, and working on my business didn't count because I didn't go to an office. Mm-hmm. I hated that. It was like, yeah, are you working already? Do you already have a job? Yes, I have a job. No, but are you working? Yes, I am. It was like, and I think now they get it. But it took some time, and it's all me, right? It's nothing to do with them or what they're thinking or that they're not supporting me. It's just how I'm reacting to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, right? Especially when you're doing something new, and there's probably parts of you that are doubting yourself, right? So when you have that doubt coming from external sources and people who are important to you, it's really hard to keep moving forward when you know that's there. Mm.
Yes, definitely. Is there anything you would have done differently when you were in the like startup phase of your business?
Is there anything that I would do differently? Let me think about that one. I feel like what I would have done differently is believing that I had to do all of this on my own. There were so many times where like I would just kind of power through. After work, I would leave my job and go over to a co-working space till 10 or 11 at night. And the times that I was most productive is when I was co-working with another friend who was working on her dream. But being able to like co-work, or being able to talk to other people about it, or even hire other people to do some of these tasks, I probably would have done differently, because I put my first website up on my own. I had a coach at the time, but like I would have hired other people or connected with other people who are on similar journeys just to make it easier for me.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's very common, this I have to do everything myself, and especially when you're starting out. Because it feels like it's the only thing we have is our time. Mm-hmm. So we have to, and maybe there's also this thought, if we hustle like crazy and work 60 hours a week, we're going to be more successful faster.
Yeah.
Which obviously isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm lucky in a way that I've done that for so long. I was working in advertising, so I had those crazy work weeks most of my career. And so when I started working for myself, I was right from the start very mindful with not overworking myself. I mean, of course, you have phases where you work more, and then when it's a little bit more easy, and I'm still working really hard and a lot. But so I try. I'm not working at nights or something, or long evenings. Or how is that for you?
Right now?
Or in the past, like when you started your business?
Yeah, I like working in tech. We work a lot of long hours as well, and I felt good. I felt great when I was working on my passion. Like I couldn't wait till 5 o'clock rolled around so I can actually start working on things that meant something to me. And there was this motivation there. Like I was happy to do it. And I was really, really happy to start learning new things, like learning more about marketing, learning more about websites, learning more about, you know, editing video and all of these things. So that was really rewarding for me. Mm-hmm. And having this programming of needing to work hard and many hours is something that I still struggle with. You know, I even moving to Bali, sometimes I find myself in this mode of like being super productive and forgetting to take care of myself. And it's been a journey, and knowing how to be mindful of that and knowing how, like, what it feels like when I am pushing too hard, and being able to respond to that has been something that, you know, it has been a process to learn.
Okay. When it comes to defining your dream career or finding your dream career, what tips do you want to share with our listeners?
Right. So some of us know exactly what we want to do, and we just go and do it. And we find out all of the information that we can get to pursue that one role. And some of us have trouble figuring out what's that one thing. And having that one thing when you have so many other options that you're thinking about can be really daunting and can be very paralyzing. So you end up not doing it at all and just leaving it as kind of like a thing that you wonder about. So for the people that are thinking about, okay, so maybe I want to go into yoga, or maybe like this isn't just exactly what I wanted to do, right? Maybe I want to be a yoga teacher, but I also want to have an online business, or I want to sell products. There's so many ideas, I don't know what to choose from. So what my advice is to start big and broad. And that means just get everything down. Even if you have over 100 ideas, write them all down. So you'll have a sheet of paper, and then you write all of the ideas that you have down. And that might actually be an exercise that eliminates some of the anxiety, because with all of the thoughts that are swirling around in our head, what is it, 60 to 70,000 thoughts in our head, and the majority of them are the same ones. When we get them down on paper, we can see them, and we can maybe take some comfort in knowing that, like, we're not going to lose these ideas. So that's something that I advise, is just to write all of these things down, and then you can start eliminating from there. And I've got a process on how to eliminate as well that I can share with your audience.
Yes, definitely. Let's do it.
Okay, you want to do it right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, let's just say that you have 1,000 ideas and you want to hone in on maybe the one or maybe the top three. So what you do is just write them all down. Maybe you end up with 20 for now. Take a look at this list and go, okay, I really like this one. This one might be maybe for a later date, or I don't know if I'm feeling this one as much as some of my other ones. So eliminate all but 10. Okay, so cross some of this stuff out for now, and you're looking at a list of 10. And maybe you want to eliminate half. So do the same exercise and go, okay, in your body, which one feels more pleasant? Which one feels more expansive? Which one is most exciting to you? So you've got a list of 5 now. Okay. And you're looking at this list of 5, which you can totally work with, or you can eliminate 2 more. So you've got the magic number 3. When you have 3, you're able to have different options, but you're also able to focus on not too many at a time.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest struggle, like getting there, because I know so many yoga teachers or entrepreneurs, we are so multi-passionate.
Right.
Let's say you're interested in, you're teaching vinyasa yoga and restorative yoga and creating jewelry and maybe private yoga classes and then retreats around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, take those 3 and take those 3 and really spend some time and focus on expanding on those 3 ideas.
Okay. And do you need to come up at the end with 1 idea, or do you want to proceed with 3 ideas?
Oh, okay. So if you want, you can do things any way that you want, right? There's no one right answer, but there are certain things that you can do to hone in on just one idea that you want to start with now, right? Because going in 3 different directions might pull you in 3 different directions and you end up in the same place. So there are a couple of things that you can do with these ideas. So one thing that you can do is match them up to your life goals. So you talked a lot about your why, right? This is kind of along the same lines. So if you're thinking about where you want to go in the next 3, 5, 10 years, you're thinking about the type of person that you want to be in your personal growth, or financially, what do you want your financial goals to be, in your relationship, in your marriages, or with your family life or your social life. So maybe this is a great time for you to get clear about where it is that you want to go, what it is that you want to create in your life. And then you match all of these different options that you have to what it is that you want to accomplish in your life over the next 5-10 years. Which of these feels most aligned with the person that you want to grow into?
Yeah, I love that. Yes, I think that's really important. I think that's what a lot of us are missing. We get mm-hmm. passionate about ideas, but we don't really look at them like regarding like what do we really want in our life? Mm-hmm. What do we want our life to look like?
Yeah. And this is like, you already have the answers, right? This is and matching these options up to where it is that you want to be will make it so much easier and give you so much more clarity around where do I start? Which one do I pick?
That's true. So when do you know you are successful? So if you have to pick like 3 words to describe what makes up a successful career, what would they be?
Alignment.
Okay.
Fulfillment.
Yes.
Putting me on the spot, Suzanne. So it's aligned with your values, right? And fulfilling, right? It gives you energy back. Like you're more than willing to put, 100% in, and then you get more than 100% back. So that's what I'm talking about fulfillment, right? It's work and also meaning. It means something to you.
Yes.
Right? Like this is important to you. It's important to the world. It's something that is meaningful and purposeful for you.
That's true. Do you know this Japanese system of ikigai, I think?
Yes.
Where you have to find the middle between what are you passionate about? What are you really good at? What are people needing and what are they willing to pay for?
Yes. I love that model.
I love it too. What do you think, like how important is it to find something that people are willing to pay for?
You need to survive is the bottom line, right? I mean, if you can find something where you can sustain yourself financially, that's the way to go, right? If you can find something that you can do for free and you can live off the land and fish and hunt and gather berries and all of that, great. And that's something, that's the lifestyle that you chose to live that would give you the most fulfillment. That would be the way to go, right? So the question you asked is like, how important is it to find something that, I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
Well, I think where I'm going is, for example, life coaching. If you ask someone like before it was known, probably they were like, no, I wouldn't pay for that. But in the end, people pay for it because it helps them. So mm-hmm. I think in a way, when you find something that you're passionate about and that helps people, you will find them, you will create a market.
Yes. Right. Like we do things because they offer value to people. Right. I received immense value from being a client of a life coach. Like it changed my life. It changed my career. It changed where I live. Because of this part of my journey, I've changed so much for the good. And I am so much more happy. I'm so much more fulfilled because I was seeking answers to the questions that I had and help getting guidance and getting help in clarifying what these answers were and then moving forward with more insight and more information was really, really life-changing in the best way possible.
Yes. Like a lot of yoga teachers have the problem that they earn really little money and also that they have a problem of asking for more money, like really asking what they're worth for budgeting retreats too low or workshops. And what advice would you share there? with them.
I totally get it. And it's something that I've struggled with also, right? Like, we go into these businesses not for the money, because if we did, if we were all about the money, then we would probably still be in our higher paying corporate jobs, right? Yes. So I've been there, and I can empathize with that. And I struggled with it as well. It's like, well, I don't want to charge someone this crazy amount of money because I'm not in it for the money. At the same time, what value, just ask yourself, what value do you get out of yoga, being in the world of yoga? Or what value do you get about, what value do you get when you have the inner peace that you didn't once previously have, or your life isn't, you know, crazy stressful? Like, that benefits people in so many ways, in the physical way, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And going back to, it always goes back to, like, the why, right? Like, why is this important? You know how important it is to you. So remember, and don't doubt yourself, the value that you can bring, because you're obviously here because this world, right, the new path that you're pursuing has been life-changing for you. And don't forget that it can be life-changing for other people. And instead of thinking about a price, just think about, like, how much transformation that people can get, how much health benefits that they can get in pursuing, like, what it is that you're offering. So it's really not about the money, but it's more so about the benefits and the value and what they are experiencing that will bring joy and fulfillment to their lives.
I love that. Yes, it's all about your customers and their benefits and transformation. Mm-hmm. Maybe also my experience is when people pay more, they are more invested.
Yes.
That's how our society works. And this, I say, maybe traditional model that yoga has to be free, I don't think it really translates into the modern world so well. Mm-hmm. So yeah. In some cases for sure, but mostly when people pay, they are invested. They will show up for themselves.
Absolutely. When you put a price tag that is someone needs to stretch themselves to go into, to pay for, like, you're giving them an event that is an event where they can commit to themselves, where they can hold themselves accountable.
And I think it's the same with life coaching, right? So because you pay sometimes quite a significant amount, you're going to show up and make sure that you get, like, the results.
Absolutely. Right. When we don't pay anything for something, we don't value it as much, even though, let's say, like, some of this, you know, like, if you were to go to an event that's free versus if you were to pay $2,000 to go to this event and it's the same content, you would probably absorb more in the $2,000 event because that was offered to you, right? And you value this money and you view it from a different lens.
Yes. Yes. So moving on, if you could give our listeners one piece of work-life balance advice, what would it be besides moving to Bali?
One piece of work-life balance.
Yes.
Schedule your personal time first.
Okay.
In your calendar. So what I do almost every morning is, like, I do my morning routine and I plan out my day. And I know all of the stuff that I have to do. And as, you know, like, for women, especially, they tend to put themselves last. Like, they put their work and then their family and then everybody else first. And then they end up getting the scraps, if there are any scraps left over. So my advice is to you know, to do it the other way around. And so for me, I know that I have different tasks that I have to do for work that day and be around other people. But what I do is I schedule my own personal time first. So I really look forward to going to the gym and doing, like, the sauna and all of that. So I put that down first and I work everything else around after it.
Okay. Do you put personal stuff into Asana as well? Like
tasks? I do. Oh. I use Trello, and yes, I do put personal stuff as well.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't do that. Mm. I just have it in my calendar, and yeah, it's a little bit separate. Yeah, separately. Yeah, because this is the Blissful Biz podcast. So combining your life or finding bliss in your business is a big topic for me. It's something that really interests me. So that's why I really wanted to ask that. I'm so glad that we talked, and I think you shared a lot of really great advice and tips and how to find your dream career, what to do when it comes to pricing, overcome your struggles and have problems, especially in the beginning. So this has been really awesome conversation, and it was really cool to learn more about your journey as well.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Where can people go to learn more about you?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, where I actually have a freebie to offer to your listeners around creating the perfect career or business. So if you go on my website, leannalumawe.com, you can find me there. And you can also find me on Instagram as well, at leannalumawe.
Great. I'm also going to share the links in the show notes.
Perfect.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Blissful Biz podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about how to work with me one-on-one, my courses and membership, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to susannereicher.com right now. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.